Okay, I've received the thumbs up. I will call the Legislation Committee meeting to order for Valentine's Day, which also happens to be my anniversary.
How sentimental.
I guess you guys didn't know I was that romantic, right?
It was her idea. Confirm the quorum, please. Thank you very much. I need a motion on the consent calendar, which consists of items 2A, B. Moved by Sparing, seconded by Halstead. Any objection to the motion? Motion passed without objection. Item 3, AB 1193, Ting.
Good morning, Chair Hagerty, Commissioners Rebecca Hi. Long, MTC staff. AB 1193 deals with changing the classifications for bikeways in California law. So right now, California statute establishes three different classifications for bikeways. Class 1 denotes bike paths, so these are completely separated facilities. Class 3 is a bike boulevard, similar to what they have in the city of Berkeley, where it's a road that, you know, is attractive for bicycles but not separated in any way. One of the challenges that many cities have had is they're interested in moving to something that's known as a protected bikeway, cycle track, separated bikeways. So these are similar to what San Francisco has now, and they went through a difficult exception process, but where you have a separated lane on a regular road, but it's separated in some fashion with, for example, flexible posts, maybe even parked cars. So there's lots of different options. But it's really hard for cities to do that right now because, the state law just doesn't allow it. So what this bill would do is to create this additional category and then also require that Caltrans develop safety guidelines for that category. We recommend a support position, but I would note that the recent report that the California State Transportation Agency commissioned, the SSTI report, has recommended that the state go quite a bit further than this bill. They've basically taken issue with the fact that California sets the standards for bicycle facilities on local roads, and that's very unusual. Caltrans does not set the standards for just the design of local roads or sidewalks either. So it's kind of the one mode where the state is dictating how locals design facilities, and so they're actually recommending that the state just get out of the way and instead, you know, adopt the NACTO guidelines, the National Association of City Transportation Officials, who've adopted some guidelines for bike facilities. So I just put that out there to kind of know, and also that based on some conversations I've had just this week with San Francisco, it sounds like this bill may well be amended, very likely will be amended. So you might want to consider waiting, but I don't think there's harm in taking a position on this now. It's kind of like getting our oar in the water, showing that we want to see some reform, but the bill will likely change. So,
are there any reforms that we might want to see in the bill?
Well, I think we are certainly, you know, we think it's probably a good idea to follow the SSTI recommendations, which would be for the state to basically leave this up to cities and counties to figure out based on the NACTO guidelines and other best practices. The ASHTO organization has also been looking at this, so I think, you know, we would probably support that approach, but again, I don't think there's harm in us supporting this. It's just this is kind of going one step when it probably would be better to, you know, take three or four.
Okay, so I have no speakers on this, so I would ask if, I'm sorry, Chair Worth.
Yeah, I just had a comment, and I appreciate Chair Hagerty's comments about what more would we like to see in it, and I concur that starting with the support in this effort, having been, I think, just tying in with our last discussion about complete streets and the resolutions that all of our cities, you know, have signed, either resolutions or general plan amendments, and the fact that much of our bicycle work is in the area of retrofit. It's not creating new roadways where you can create, you know, the way Caltrans sort of used to creating a new corridor. So this issue is particularly challenging for communities that want to make investments in bike and bike pathways and are working with, you know, have that challenge of working with the existing Caltrans rules around bike facilities. So I think that it would be really helpful for us to take an active role, engage, you know, the League of California Cities, some of our other partners to be able to give these tools to local jurisdictions. Because I know in certainly our county there are projects that our cities would like to have taken on and that they're finding real resistance in terms of some of the state regulations that are barriers to doing that. So I think it would be really helpful for us in terms of all the priorities that we've set forward with our allocation of resources to kind of support this effort. And you know, I think our role last year was really important in getting the governor, you know, the governor legislature passed, the governor signed the legislation providing safe passageway for bicycles on the road. So I think it's important that we support this, but also look to how can we make it really work for the cities.
Okay, so does this legislation have anything to do with painting the streets green? I think if you look, I'm sure I'm the minority here, but I think when you start painting your entire bikeway green, that you're obviously showing your citizens that you have too much money. So does this support that in any way?
I think it does allow it, if that would be one example of, you know, but it's clearly up to the local jurisdiction whether they want to paint their streets green. But that is an example of the kinds of approaches and one way that you would denote that this is a separate bicycle facility.
Okay. Would you want to go with a support or watch, looking for a motion?
Wiener? I'll move support.
Second.
I have a motion by Kinsey, seconded by Hallstatt for support. Position on AB 1193. Is there any objection to the motion? Motion will pass without objection. Item 4A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, look, this next item is just an information item. Most of the details contained in your memo. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. This item has to do with the 2014 federal appropriations for transportation. As I'm sure you know, just from reading the newspapers, Congress can't really pass individual bills anymore, so they do it in these huge omnibus appropriations, and we were inside one of those. Essentially, it's kind of a no harm, no foul appropriations because it follows the MAP 21 guidelines. Specifically, two projects I just want to point out, the Central Subway and the Silicon Valley extension of BART, both received $150 million each in the appropriations for their full funding grant agreements, which is a significant amount of money. If all was so easy, though, we'd be grateful, but it's not. And the reason is because transportation, unlike many other things inside the federal budget, has a specific amount of revenue that funds it. And absent that revenue being there, they have to take a subsequent action to go and find it. And that's kind of where we are in transportation. We're, the trust funds are going to run out of money. So how this all plays out is still somewhat of a movie without an ending, but I think the good part is that they did take an action, and now we just live to fight another day. So with that, I would close. Oh, wait, I do want to mention, I'm sorry, on the second page of the memo about Tiger that was mentioned in a prior discussion, there is $600 million in that Tiger account, which is good news. The uncertainty is that we generally wait for the administration to put out some guidance on that so we can actually match the projects we're proposing to what they want to see. That guidance is not out yet. It tends to come out later in the year. It'd be nice if it came out now so we could take our projects to D.C. when we go there, but in the past we've made a decision to wait until we see it. We don't know when it's going to come out.
Any questions, Randy? All right. Seeing none, this is an informational item. I will now move to the next item, which I know is Tom Bolger's report. I just can't get my iPad to move fast enough. There we go.
Yeah, it is. Often I just say it's there for your perusing, but I'm going to mention a couple of things. One is, of course, George Miller has announced his retirement. We're hopeful in our reception, and I think we are. He's going to be there, we've heard, to honor his service in Congress on Tuesday when we're in D.C. A couple other things that Peter Rogoff, who runs the Federal Transit Administration until he just recently accepted another job to become Undersecretary for Policy, leaves our previous Therese McMillan, who worked at MTC, to essentially be next in line. And while she can't take an official title as acting or anything like that at this point, she is the person who will be essentially running FTA until such time that they make some other decision. So it's really good news for her, of course, and we'll be recognizing her in our D.C. reception as well.
All right. What? Yes, Commissioner Kinsey?
Yeah, Randy, I don't know if you noticed yesterday that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce came out in support of a gas tax increase, which is, you know, to me a significant beginning of another advocacy for more funding at the federal level for transportation. And, you know, I just thought it would be worth noting that that is such a common sense idea, and we've danced around all kinds of other more convoluted ones, but I'm wondering if this is the rebirth of common sense or what.
I'd really like to cheer you on this one, Commissioner. But the chamber has supported a gas tax increase for the last 5 or 6 years. The truckers have, and that doesn't seem to move the Congress. I do think we've got some forces coming together that are finally going to require the Congress to choose between two options, right? Because they've made clear they do not want to cut the program, and they do not want to raise the gas tax. And you can only do that for so long before something breaks. And the breakage is actually going to occur in August when the trust fund is forecast to run out of money. And unlike the last bill, where you remember we went through all those extensions, right, extension after extension, the money is going to run out when the bill runs out. And there is no extension without money. And that will force action. And they will either have to dip into the general fund again, or they will have to raise somebody's tax. And so in that sense, I think your point is well made, that compared to 5 or 6 years ago, when we had enough money that saying we need to raise the rate sort of fell on deaf ears, they're not there anymore. And I don't think there's a member of Congress who wants to go home and say, I've just cut your state DOT budget by 30%, which is what we're talking about. Now, if you want to handicap between a general fund bailout and a new gas tax, I'd probably put my money on the former rather than the latter. And the Obama administration, frankly, is pushing just that idea. Their view is, let's do tax reform and achieve some savings in the general fund and throw it into infrastructure. That's completely at odds with the model we've had for the last 40 years, but look, it's all green, and if we can spend it, we can spend it. You know, the difficulty, as you know, from the Sacramento experience is when you rely on general fund money, you're dependent upon general fund money, and they can take it away just as fast as they can give it to you. But I do think we've got something coming together toward the end of the summer that's going to force action one way or the other.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Commissioner Weiner.
Thank you. And just for the record, I like the green lanes because
I knew you would, Scott. That's why I spoke as a member of the minority.
No, and I say it's not. I mean, it's a nice color, but in addition to that, it I think as a driver, actually, it's great. I mean, it's just this really strong visual cue to, you know, be careful of that lane. But anyway,
until they're driven on enough and they look just like the street.
It's
a maintenance issue.
High quality paint. So just a question about the with the report that came out recently about Caltrans, which I think was, of course, not a surprise to probably any of the counties or transit agencies in the Bay Area in terms of some of the challenges. Do you see anything coming of that?
I think the most important thing about that report was who commissioned it, and that's the Secretary of the Transportation Agency, Brian Kelly, and many of us have known him for many years. He's a very serious man, and he intends to take this challenge on. Now, there have been other reports about Caltrans. I'm sounding like the old fart today, you know, but like the Chamber of Commerce, you know, we've seen reports about Caltrans before. And they have not always taken hold. And I will say that one thing to me that's disappointing about this report, I mean, it found a lot of things wrong, and that's no surprise, but it came up with nearly 50 recommendations to change it, and that's about 40 too many. So we've encouraged Secretary Kelly to try to focus on some of the key issues, and I think those include the relationship between headquarters and the districts, which tends just to add a layer of time and cost to every project. So, in other words, more devolution to the districts, and also the question just of its delivery procedure, which is so cumbersome and so difficult and so at odds with the state of the practice in many other state DOTs around the country. So I'm hopeful that given the Secretary's interest, and I think given the fact that he's got the Governor's backing, that we can see something happen this time, and it needs to happen.
And is there any momentum within the agency to say, here are some things that need to be fixed? I know sometimes it has to be external to really fix
Yeah, I think there does. Caltrans has had a lot of different directors over the years. Many of them are internal, and I think those candidates, those directors tend to have the hardest time making significant change. They've got someone currently, Malcolm Dougherty, whom we know well, who's a Caltrans guy. That's where he came from. And I think that does put him in a difficult position. That's why I think the eggs are in Brian Kelly's basket. He's not a Caltrans guy. But he also thinks the state ought to and should have a continuing role in transportation. And right now, the report points out the fact that things have gotten bad enough that when the legislature comes up with a new state transportation task, they explicitly avoid giving it to Caltrans. They work around them, and I think that's a pretty compelling indictment all by itself.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Happy Valentine's Day. We're adjourned.